He said, I am the true vine. You can't pour that in a glass and you can't sit on it. You can't touch it. It's intangible. He's saying to us, I am the source of all life. I am the central place of why we were created as human beings. And from me, hydration and nutrition come to sustain the soul, the life, and make life a beautiful flowing thing from the Creator. We're not even in John chapter 15, not even mentioned until verse 5, basically. Because God, until He gets us in a framework of understanding how it all operates, and the first thing He wants us to know is, I am the true vine. When I hear that statement, I think, I am not. They are not. It is not. And then He tells us that not only am I the source of life, but my Father is in charge of your sustaining life from me. He is the husbandman. He is the vine dresser. He is the one in charge of our walk with Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that really set me free a few years ago when I realized I'm not in charge of my Christian life. God the Father is. Because I was told I had to pull it all off. Jesus said, I'm the real thing. I'm the true vine. And this is how my Father deals with His branches. And last week we talked about those who stop bearing fruit. He lifts us up because we tend to run wild along the ground, setting us back up on the trellis, back up on the wall, giving us structure. And then for those who bear fruit, He washes us. And then He looks at His disciples and us and says this, already you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. I love that, don't you? Clean means clean. When God says you're clean, you're clean. No matter what you tell yourself or other people tell you, to know Christ is to be clean. Our position as believers is set. You need to know that before we move on to the next verses, because these verses have been jacked out of context, made to say something they never said. So before we go into them, you need to know that when God saved you, if you're saved today, He put you in Christ, planted you there, and positionally, which is all that ever matters, you are clean before the Father, period. You're set. You can't lose that deal. You can't mortgage it out. It's set. You're in Him. You are clean. And then in verse 5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Get that set in your mind. God always comes first. I am the vine. Got it in your mind? I am the source of life. You are the branches. You could meditate on that thing for weeks and months and years and let that soak into your soul. Do you understand? Jesus said, I am the vine. Your place is attached to me. I love that. Isn't that beautiful? Intangible. That's what it's all about. And then He says this, back in verse 4, We're going to go backwards. Abide in me, and I in you. Notice that he does not say, attach yourself to me. He says, stay where I put you, and think about where I put you, and let that be the abiding thought on your mind of where I put you. Abide, stay in me. Notice he says then, and I in you. I love that because of this. God doesn't desire robots. We don't, like the Hindus think, become absorbed into some unknown deity out there. You were created with a personality, a will, a unique you. When God places you in Christ, you don't lose that. In fact, he honors that so much, he comes to live in you. So don't think because he placed you in Christ, you're gone. In fact, he places himself in you to live his life out through your unique personality, your unique way of thinking about things, your sense of humor. Just the way you look at life, God has all these children out here who live his life out in completely different ways. No two branches are alike. No two branches are alike. He likes it that way. He said, abide in me, and I in you. And then he gives this warning in verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, if we have been placed in Christ, do we have a responsibility? Yes, we do. Our responsibility is to first recognize our position in Christ and let the focus and total absorption of our lives be upon the vine that we have been placed in. It is to expect his life to be lived out through me. It is to depend on him for my joy, my peace, my soul's nourishment. As the old Scots would say, it's better felt than telt. It's awfully hard to explain. But it's the real stuff of life when you take the most precious thing you have, the faith that God has given you, and you totally center your life on Christ alone. It is one thing to know him as your Savior. It is a whole new ball game to know him as your very life. All that is yours, all that you need. Now, I give you some warnings, because if you think of the imagery of this vine and branches, vines do not connect with one another. They do not. Vines do not run up on each other as they grow and get connected into each other. That doesn't work like that. Vines get intertangled with one another, but they never connect. Let me give you a warning. As your pastor, one error that I see over the years is believers believing that they need to have a connection, and they'll use that word, a connection with other believers. Sometimes it's used within the context of a church. You might say, there's no one I can connect with down there. The purpose of the church was not so the branches, hear me out, so the branches can connect with each other. Because if the branches are abiding in the vine, the connection they care about is in the vine itself. And then as the vine chooses to grow that branch, that vine becomes intertangled and intertwined with other vines. Never connecting, intertwining. There's a difference. The life is still being drawn from the vine. Who God puts you in place with, within your church, within your job, wherever you are as believers. He is wrapping your branch around their branch. And their branch might look a whole lot different than your branch. The branch that God twists you around may be twice your age or half your age. They may have interests that are completely different than yours. But as you stay focused on the vine that God has planted you in Christ, He intertwines your lives with others. Don't fall for the lie that you need to connect with the other branches. Because when you begin to connect with the other branches in thinking that way, you're thinking, I'm drawing life from my relationships with other people. That is a dead-end street. Life was never to be drawn from a husband, a wife, children, friends, members within a church. We're all part of the same singular vine. And as we abide in that vine, God has this trellis of branches twisting around one another. Notice, look at verse 5 again. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, there it is again, and I in him, he it is that bears fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Now, I challenge that statement in your mind because churches do a lot of things. Churches have a lot of activities, a lot of physical movement. But is it of spiritual value? Is it of eternal consequence? Jesus said, unless you abide in me, nothing goes on. It may look like it, but it's not really going on. Notice the warning as it continues. Notice in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me. Now remember, he said, you are clean. So he's not talking about salvation or the loss of it. He's talking about the fruit bearing that goes on or doesn't go on. By the way, just a word on the fruit. The fruit of a Christian is not other Christians. To be a soul winner, although that's an important thing to do. The fruit of the believer is the life that God grows out of that believer in terms of the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the type of life. Because the greatest impact that a branch has on another branch is not fixing the other branch, it's growing out of the vine. And when the other vine sees it, it sees the attachment it has with the other vine, and you see the encouragement that happens there. But let's get to the withering part, because it's a warning. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches, notice, are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If this is not talking about salvation, what could it possibly be talking about? It is talking about, I believe, the works of the flesh. If we as believers are not focused on the vine as the source of our life, we might go about a lot of things as Christians, achieving what we think is a lot of things. But in the end, it all gets gathered up and it gets burned. I was cutting grass last week, and these almost took my head off along with a branch. A lot of vines. This thing was cut last Tuesday, I think. This was a vine attaching itself to a branch. You can see the leaves. This is what Christians can become like without a focused attention on Jesus Christ. you will wither as a believer. Still saved, absolutely. Still going to heaven, absolutely. I think all of us over our times of our Christian life have felt just like this. Maybe you came in this morning feeling like this. But when the branch vine is attached to the branch is attached to the vine, you see how beautiful the leaves are, the nourishment? Now this won't last long. Because I cut it. Its source of life is gone. There it is. I was playing tennis with John last week. We kind of did that when he was going through his teenage years, and Whitney also. It was a sport we shared in order to stay close. And that's an important thing for parents to do as their kids grow, just kind of be involved. But John and I haven't played in 5 or 6 years together. And we're both old men now. And we think we can get around the court about the same as we used to, but we can't. And but we had a pretty good set going. And I think I was up 4-3 in the set, and I was serving. And I was up 45. Now, 40-5, that means one more point for me. I go up 5-3 in a 6-game set. Pretty much the set's over. I go up 5-3. I'm going to win one more game. He's not going to get me. And he wasn't playing well. He was kind of struggling with his forehand. So I felt like I had him buttered up pretty good. And then he remembered a particular strategy that I had taught him as a kid growing up. And basically what John did to change the entire complexion of the set, and by the way, he ended up winning the set. I was serving, so I was kind of right there. I was serving into this box. The little fence thing is right there. Okay, so I was over here serving into this box. John, a normal place to receive the serve is around this area. Okay, this you get two serves. The first serve is supposed to be a good popping first serve. You hope to hit a winner on. So on my first serve, I'm up 4-3. I'm up 45. One more point, we go 5-3. The set's basically over. John moves from here 5 feet up to right there. Now, what he has done is challenge me and insult my first serve. Basically, what he had done is mental strategy of messing with my head. Now, no longer am I thinking about tossing the ball, doing this, dropping the racket, all the form things. All I'm thinking is I want to drill a serve so hard into that box that it hits him right in the gut and knocks him down. Because you've just disrespected me and my serve and my whole game. The strategy worked. I double faulted. And then he came back, won the game, and eventually won the set. If the enemy can get our minds off our position in Christ and strategically get us our attention on some other human being or some other circumstance or problem, if he can get our focus off of him, he doesn't care what you put it on. As long as you're not thinking about him and his life. It could be as small as the traffic jam in front of you. If he can get your attention off that, you will double fault your entire life. It requires a sense of learning the spiritual discipline of keeping your heart and mind on Christ alone. Amen. Depending on him for your very life. Notice what happens in verses 7 and beyond. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. We run right to the middle of that verse without seeing the front of it. If you're abiding in him and focused on him, your requests will be fewer and your requests will be more centered on what God wants in your life. You will be asking him what he would ask of you. Ask whatever you want. It will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that I get anything that I want. No. That you bear much fruit. In that, you reveal that you are my disciple. You prove it. You show it. Isn't that beautiful? Branches draw life from the source of the vine. Is he your source? Is he your life? Do you feel dried up within? You place your attention on him. He said he would plant a living rivers of water inside of you, flowing out. That's why I have little patience with any kind of sense. And I know we all struggle, but we're proclaimed as more than conquerors in Christ. If we're struggling, it's because our eyes aren't on the source of our Christian life. Maybe you're struggling because you've never come to Christ. Maybe we've jumped over that for you and you need to be placed in the Son. But for most of us, we've been saved. We know Him. Do you see Him as the source of your life? I'll tell you what He said in a few seconds. It takes a lifetime to think through. Number two. When branches attempt to abide in each other, you are no longer abiding in the... Now, you're in the vine. God has placed you in there. But the imagery says this. You focus on another human being to meet your needs, you're not abiding in him. You focus on getting something brand new to make you happy, you're not abiding in him. You think some promotion at work will make you fix all your problems, you're not abiding in him. It's a beautiful thing when a man's abiding in Christ, focused on him. You really can't shake him. You can't shake him. John said to me the other day when we were playing tennis, he says, you know, working with the ESE kids in tennis and sports, he says, really has helped me so much. He said, I used to be all competitive, you know, and, oh, you got to win, you got to win, you got to win. And he said, now, in fact, he coaches the tennis team of ESE kids, and they're out there, you know, and he's yelling at them, hit the forehand, hit the forehand. And they're just laughing and having a good time. He says, you know, that's what it's all about. When you're abiding in the, you don't have to win anymore. You don't have to, you know, get on time. You don't have to be right. You know, your husband can yell at you, and that's cool because you're abiding in the vine. Your wife can lay you low, and you're abiding in the vine. Kids can go nuts. You're abiding in the vine. Teenager, never mind a teenager thing. That might be more than the vine can take right there. No. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, I'm abiding in the vine. Somebody slaps you on the face, I'm abiding in the vine, I turn the other cheek. I'm asked to walk a mile, I walk 2 miles because I'm abiding in the vine. You see, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was very serious about that. He meant it for those who are abiding in his life. He didn't throw a teaching out there and go, I don't think he can pull that one off. He can pull it off as we're abiding in the vine. And number three, a withering branch desperately attempts to attach itself to just about anything. But when you're abiding in him, you're not worried about sucking the life out of somebody else, pulling nourishment from some situation or thing that you want. Things aren't wrong. People aren't wrong. But when you're abiding in the vine, you become a blessing to everybody around you, not a parasite. Was that a little too strong?
No. Right on.
Because if you depend on somebody else to give you that kind of life, it's a parasitical lifestyle. Now all of a sudden your friends are your friends and you love them when they're not always at their best. You can be gracious and loving to everyone because you're depending on the vine within, the vine that God has placed you in. Abide, abide, abide. We at this church don't give you a list of 10 things to live the Christian life, but I promise I'll give you one of them, abide. And really, it's a taking in of all the life that he's already placed within you.